Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Welcome back to the podcast, where we're pressing through to the end of chapter 7 in the book of Romans. It's been a beautiful journey together. I personally got a little emotional in the last episode because these truths are so beautiful and so life-giving. And I think if we will journey with Paul in his understanding and not get hung up on debates of theology and interpretive issues, I think we hear the spirit of what he's sharing and really dig into these truths. They are so powerful and life-giving in our Christian experience. And so that's my heart. That's the reason why I do these studies, not just for the exercise of doing a technical Bible study, but to lead others into a place of life-giving encounter with the powerful truth of God in the gospel that has literally transformed my life and set me free. And I just have passion and want to share that with other people. So we're in chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 21. Now, in the last chapter, we looked at this crazy statement that Paul makes regarding him no longer being the one who does the very thing he doesn't want to do, but it's actually sin in him that's doing it. And we talked about how it sounds like he's passing the buck, but really he's coming into agreement with the truth. He's actually expressing the reality of what's happening. And that's why it's so powerful for us to listen to the word, read this truth and meditate on it and receive it as truth and let it begin to shift our perspective. So in verse 21, Paul says, "I find then a principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good." So here's this conflict again. Now he's going to say that even evil is present, that it's somehow the place, the only place, by the way, that I believe the devil can work is in this outward flesh area of our lives. Our inner sanctuary, our inner place of the Spirit is fully blessed and protected by the presence of God. But it's in this outward realm that Paul understands that evil is present in the one who wants to do good. Verse 22, "I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man." Now, let's stop there. The law of God in the inner man. We've talked a lot about the law. We've already covered that there's only one word in the Greek language for law. I've already talked about how you have to interpret Paul's understanding in context. When he uses that word, is he talking about the law, the letters written on stone? We had an episode on that. Is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Is he talking about the greater Torah, the whole law and the prophets, which I believe he's referring to in Romans 3, when he says, apart from the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So there's all these instances where we have to understand what he's saying. And in this instance, I'm going to submit to you that I believe Paul's saying this. He's saying, "I joyfully concur. I come into agreement with the principle of God in my inner man." I don't think he's saying, "I come into agreement with the Ten Commandments in my inner man." I don't think he's talking about the Ten Commandments here. I think he's saying that when you experience the life of God in your inner man, there is a new law that has been written in your hearts. It is the law of the new covenant, and it is different, altogether different than the Ten Commandments. Why would God write something on our hearts on the inside and make it something that we have to accomplish on the inside when he knows we can't even accomplish it on the outside? So what is he saying? There's a new law. There is the law of the Spirit, and he's going to get to that in Romans 8:1. I'm always tempted to jump ahead, but I try to show that restraint in our journey. But I think Paul's alluding to this law. In my inner man, there is a new principle at work. It is the principle of the life of God. But I see a different law, a different principle. It's not the law. It's a different law. It's a different working principle in the members of my body. There's the outward members. There's the flesh members. There's the members of the body of Romans chapter 6. Present the members of your body as members of righteousness. Remember? So Paul says there's a different dynamic going on in the members of my body, and it's waging a war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So here's the ultimate battle for Paul. Paul's taking us up to another one of those crescendo moments. Remember, we talked about the crescendo of Romans 5, where sin increased, grace abounds more. And so Paul's taking us to another one of these places. He's saying, now I realize that there is this war that's going on in my mind because I'm trying to understand and live in the reality of the truth of the inner life of God in me by the presence of Christ and His Spirit. And it is in conflict with what I see happening in the outward members of my body. And so this is a war that I am involved in. This is a battle. And so he ultimately exclaims in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am." There's the crescendo. You think, well, Cliff, that's not a very nice crescendo. Well, it is. It's a place that every believer will come in their life where you actually realize that in your natural self, you are a wretched person. There is nothing good in you. The only good is the good of Jesus. And this is a reality that every believer has to come to. And then Paul makes this beautiful cry, "Who will set me free from the body of this death?" Because he knows that in our physical bodies, the principle of sin works and it is producing death. We will all ultimately physically expire in our physical bodies. That's the death experience. But in addition to that, Paul understands that there is a deeper death. There is the ultimate death of being cut off completely, eternally outside of the life of God. And this is what Jesus came to reverse. We talked about it in previous episodes. It is the heart and the essence of the gospel that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a powerful truth. That is the heart of the gospel. And this is where Paul's headed. So he cries out, "Who is going to set me free from this body of death?" Now, I want to make another illustration. This is kind of a warning ahead of time. This is an adult rated episode because the image that I want to give is the image that Paul's giving, and it's a bit vivid. But this is what Paul's saying. There was a means of execution that the Romans developed called the body of death. Now, we know that they hung people on crosses. They say the crucifixion was probably the worst way to die. But this other way was horrible as well. They would actually take a condemned person to death, and they would take a dead cadaver of another person, and they would strap that dead body onto the body of the condemned person who was still living, face to face, chest to chest, waist to waist, leg to leg. And they would tie at every point possible that body of death to the person who was living. And that condemned person had to walk around and carry this body of death on their body. Now, if you understand anything about physiological and physical process of death, you understand that this physical body was decaying and there were bacteria and other untold number of things that were going on in that dead body. And that death of that dead body would ultimately get on to the body of the live person carrying it and would consume them, and they in turn would die. It is a horrendous picture. And I don't want to give you nightmares in this episode. And I'm sorry I had to give the illustration so vividly, but this is the power of what Paul's saying. He's saying, man, this experience of the battle between the law of God in my inner man and what I come into agreement with, what I actually want to do, I see this flesh body of mine as though it is one of these bodies of death. It's tied to me. I can't shake it. I can't get it off of me. And this is the reality that Paul's confessing. And then he says, verse 25, one of the most beautiful confessions of the whole book of Romans, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has set us free from the body of death. Everything God has done for us in Christ has cut every tie to death. Here's Paul's thinking. Here's the way he understands. On the one hand, I, with my mind, am serving the law, the principle, the directive of God. But on the other, in my flesh, the law of sin. This is a dynamic that every believer is going to experience. And it's going to be part of the journey, of the process. Now, Paul's going to transition into this beautiful chapter 8 of Romans, maybe one of the highest chapters in all of Paul's writings, some say. And Paul is going to tell us that if you continue on in this journey, you're going to discover a greater and more powerful truth. So Paul never wants to leave us permanently in Romans 7, but he does want to take our hand and he wants to guide us through the reality of Romans 7 into the blessing and the power of Romans 8. So this is what Paul's doing. He's telling us that through Jesus Christ, we have been released from the body of death. And now we understand that with our minds, in our inner man, we serve God. But in our outer person, we recognize that this is still the place where sin has possibility, not probability. He moves it out of a place of condemnation into only a place of possibility. And this is the provision and the promise of God that we're going to talk about now in Romans chapter 8, beginning in the next episode. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.